Good morning again, everyone. Oh, that was... It's a good thing. Pastor Jennifer encouraged herself in the Lord. That was pitiful. We're glad that you're here this morning. I have been praying for us and asking the Lord to give us a clear focus and a direction for this very first Sunday. Now, God is God every day, and He's with us every Sunday. But there is something important and special and significant when we begin new seasons, right? And so here we are this first Sunday of 2026. Sooner or later, I'm going to call it 2025, I'm sure. But anyhow, it's 2026. So as I've been praying and waiting on the Lord, actually a few weeks ago, the Lord put this passage in my heart. And this morning, when I came up to the fourth floor, Brother Kim had his phone out, and he said, this is what the Lord put on my heart. This is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to use for prayer this morning. And I looked at what he had, and I just started laughing, because what the Lord had put on his heart for prayer this morning is literally exactly the same passage that we're going to look at this morning. So I think the Lord has something to say to us this morning. And the title is Forget and Focus. Okay? Forget and Focus. And I really appreciated the praises to the Lord as we lifted the name of the Lord. And I think a lot of us expressed appreciation for God getting us through this last year, bringing us to this point. And I think all of us, if we look back at 2026, we have some high points, right? Some things that you look back and you think, yeah, this is great, right? Right, Andrew? What did I say? I feel judged right now. I'm just saying, I feel judged. We look back at 2025. That's not a senior moment. It's just, you know, that's just. We look back at 2025, and all of us, we have some high points. We have some good memories, don't we? And I think all of us also look back at 2025, and we think to ourselves, I am so glad that is behind me. I am so glad that's in the rear view mirror. I don't want to go back to that again. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, has something to say to you and to me this morning as we're thinking about that. And we're going to be this morning, the theme passage for us is from Isaiah 43. Okay? So if you want to, get your phones. If you want to, not for Facebook or Instagram, but if you want to click to Isaiah 43, we're going to have the scriptures here. This is a wonderful passage for us. And our theme comes from, as you know, if you are in prayer, in the prayer group this morning, it comes from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. So we're going to, let's read it in English together, and then we will go on together. Ready? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Amen. What an encouraging passage for us this morning. And as we're going to see this morning, there are both positive and negative things in this passage. God's very, very clear when we look at the whole context. And this is what we're going to do this morning. So I'm using mostly the NIV this morning. You may have a different translation, and that's okay as well. And as we look at this, so forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. We're looking into a new year in 2026, and all of us are aware of the power of the past in our lives when we let it weigh us down, right? How many of you look back and you have such regret about something that happened, something you did, something you said, that even though you said, okay, God, forgive me, and you've gone on, it still bothers you. It still fills your thoughts at times. And so the Lord talks to us about this, and he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing something new. Perceive. And that's really, look at that word. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And what God is saying here, we're going to come back to this. Here's the goal for us. This is where we're going to get to this morning, but we're going to go back and look at Isaiah 43. When this word perceive is used, this tells us something. It shows us God is doing something. Something is happening. Are we seeing what God is doing? Are we aware of what God is doing? Because you and I can be so full of the past, so full of other things, that God is working and moving, and we do not see that God is doing something and that he is working. And God wants us to know that he's doing something and to see what he's doing. So that's what we're going to get to. But let's start with a little bit of context. The writer is Isaiah, okay? He is considered the prince of prophets. When God called him, how old was he? He was a young man. So I'm looking over this way and over that way as well. Isaiah very possibly was in his late teens when God called him. Late teens, maybe up to early 20s or so. He was a very, very young man when God called him. And during this time in Judah, in the last two remaining tribes, the other part of Israel had already gone into idolatry. They were already scattered. And this was these two tribes remained. They were called Judah, but they were declining. They were growing lower. They were growing less in power, although Hezekiah was king during this time and God blessed him. But overall, the situation was not very great for Judah, or let me just say God's people. Let me just put it that way, for God's people. The nations around them were growing in power and in influence and in might. And God's people and the nation was getting smaller and smaller. And even they themselves were beginning in their hearts to turn away from God. Are there other gods? And you and I think, well, of course, I'd never follow another god, right? Don't you say that? No, I'm not an idol worshiper. I would never follow another god. But put yourself and ask yourself this in this position and ask yourself this question. Are there times in your life and are there temptations in your life to go a different way instead of God's way? To try something else rather than God's way? Well, this isn't working so well. Maybe I'll do this, or maybe I'll do that, or I think I can get it done this way. And if so, then you and I are the same as God's people at this time, as they looked at other ways of getting ahead, at other ways of going. So we're going to look at Isaiah 43. Those of you that are Bible students and that study your Bibles, you will know that Isaiah historically, it is written to the Jews. It's written to God's people. But God says very clearly that everything in the Old Testament is written to help us as well. So we're going to look at Isaiah 43 and find out what it means to us, because we're going to find out something about God, and we're going to find out something about how God works at his people. So as we look at this, okay, here's an easy one. God says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing, it springs up, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. This is really encouraging. And so you and I are very happy to grab these two verses, right, 18 and 19, and say, yes, Lord, amen, I take this. This is my theme for 2026. Okay, 2026. So, easy question. Who is the one that's saying these very encouraging things? Who is it? Not Isaiah. It's God, right? It's God. That's a no-brainer, right? Of course, it's God. So let's look at that. And if you look, you've got your electronic Bibles or whatever, you're on your iPhones. But if you look in your on your phones, if you look at verse 1, verse 14, and verse 16, you will see the same thing three times. Ready? This is what you will see. You will see, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Now remember, when the Bible's written, it wasn't written with chapter divisions. It wasn't written with verse divisions either. So that's not inspired, right? Those came later. The Bible was written kind of in thoughts or in paragraphs, really. That's how it's written. And so if you go back and look in this general area at these chapters, guess what you will find? You will find, this is what the Lord says, repeated 23 times. 23 times. I'll bet you never noticed that before, did you? I knew it was there a lot, but as I started looking, I thought, oh, okay, this is what the Lord says. And actually even more than that in other areas. But as the Lord speaks to his people, it is phrased in this way. This is what the Lord says. So it's not just, okay, God is saying something. It's very, very specific. God is saying, something is being said to the people of God, and every time it's presented, this is what the Lord says. Now, why is this important for you and for me this morning as we're getting ready to go into a new year? This is important for you and me because we are surrounded by influences and situations and people and social media and our own thoughts that say this and say this and say this. And all of these things come into our thoughts. And sometimes sometimes even the enemy is speaking to us. And of course, the enemy never says, "Psst, devil here, you're a failure." Never sounds like that, right? But how many of you, no joke, have ever felt, "I'm a failure"? A lot of us have, right? I was so bad. I blew it. I didn't get this done. Well, that's not the voice of the Lord. That's not what God says. And so what God says in this situation and circumstance is this: pay attention. Listen. This is what I am saying, right? This is what the Lord says. So if you want to set your course for the days ahead, listen to what the Lord says. If you want to be established and not easily swept off your feet, listen to what the Lord says. If you want to keep from being influenced and swayed by things around you, listen to what the Lord says. If you want negative patterns in your life broken in 2026 so that they don't have power over you any longer, listen to what the Lord says. The Lord always speaks the truth to you. The Lord always loves you. The Lord is always for you and never against you. The Lord always wants what is good for you. And when you listen for the Lord and when you hear what the Lord says, he will keep you on the right path wherever that path goes. Whichever way you go, whatever you go through in this year, listen to what the Lord says. Now, God verifies what he says. So look very quickly. I know I'm jumping around just a little bit. So this is what the Lord says is in verse 1, 14, and 16. Okay? Let's look at these three verses very quickly. Ready? So the first one is this. This is what the Lord says. Oh, and then he says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Why does he say Jacob? Okay, short Bible lesson. Why does he say Jacob? Because Jacob was the father of of 12 sons, all who became the tribes of Israel, right? And so when it says Jacob, what he actually means is all the people of Israel, all the 12 tribes. So whenever you see that in the Old Testament, you wonder, huh? Where'd Jacob come from? That's where it comes from. And God says, this is what I say, the one who created you, the one who formed you. Okay, look at the next one. Keep in mind that, and we'll come back to it. This is what the Lord says. And then he says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You see, Israel was less and less holy as they were going further and further along. And God said, I'm the Holy One of Israel. God brings us into himself, and he works to make us holy. We'll come back to that one too. And then look at the next one. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. What's he talking about there? Those of you who know your Bibles, very, very clear. Okay, Nat, who's he? What's he talking? I put him on the spot. You got the answer for that? Old Testament? Oh, okay, this is a tough one then. Okay, let me skip. Sam? Here's a confident guy. The pastor says, and he says, what for? For what? What is God? Think with me, because this is a wonderful, wonderful chapter that is so encouraging. Please don't write off the Old Testament just as history that's kind of like, that's for the Jews. What context is God speaking about here? Was there a time in the history of God's people? Thank you. Right. When God led Moses and the people, it was a trick question, huh? When God led Moses and the people of Israel through the Red Sea, here's this beautiful picture. Look at this. It's not just the saving of God's people. It is also the destruction of the enemies of God's people. God wants to work in your life, that things that have bound you, that scare you, and you think this is my life, I can't overcome this. The enemy that faces you, sometimes it's something in yourself, sometimes it is something outside of you. It may be a pattern of behavior that the devil whispers to you. You will always be this way. You will never overcome. Let me tell you something. The Lord doesn't say that. He doesn't. God will never say that. And if you ever think that, and if you ever feel that, you can know at that moment, well, that's the devil. That's the devil. Just say it out loud. When that's the thought that comes into your mind, well, that's the devil. I don't believe you. I listen to what the Lord says. And God, in this year, as you walk with him, as you listen to him, because he's doing new things. Some things take longer, some things take shorter. But everything God does, whether it takes long or a short time, it's a good thing, and it's for your good. And God, in this year, wants to break off and destroy these things that are binding you, that are keeping you afraid, that are keeping you from moving forward in this year. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Take it. Take it. So in these three verses, just in this chapter, but it's in many more, like I said, 23 times. So if you want to read Isaiah 40 through the end, you'll be so encouraged as you say, this is what the Lord says. In these three passages, God is telling them, okay, listen to me. I'm the one that did this. Look real quickly. He who created you, he who formed you. Here's this beautiful picture. God says this to you. Why? Because you are his creation. So there's identity, right? There's identity and there's belonging. You are not on your own. Do you ever feel that you're on your own? Do you ever feel that you're isolated? God says, hey, I'm the one who created you. I formed you. Do you ever feel insignificant, that you do not matter? that you are one of a million, whatever, and you're just kind of floating around, you are not noticed. Your God says to you, listen to what I say. You are my creation. I formed you. And that's that beautiful picture of a personal God forming you, God making you as he is. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Only one person could redeem you. That word redeem is also the one who ransomed, your Savior, the one who bought you back. And God says, first of all, you're mine because I made you. I made you. And then God says, you're doubly mine. The devil can't have you. The world can't have you. Sin can't have you. Brokenness can't have you, because I have given Jesus for you and I have bought you back. You have been redeemed. You have been brought out from where you were, and you're now mine. You're doubly mine. You're doubly mine. Amen and amen. Really, amen. And then that third one we looked at, and we've already talked about it. God is referring specifically. He says, now listen to what I'm saying, the one who made the way through the sea. We see the both the positive and negative here. He led the people through the sea. He led the people through the mighty waters. That was the Red Sea. And then he took care of the enemy decisively. We're not going to look at it now, but one of my favorite Old Testament verses is in Exodus, I think 14 or 15. And do you know what Moses says to the people of God as they look back and they see all of the enemy coming for them? Do you know what he says? I'm serious. One of my favorite verses. You can look it up for yourself. He says to God's people who are afraid they're going to be slaves again, right? Because Egypt is coming after them. And Egypt is the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. More chariots, more horses, more warriors than anybody else. Who can overcome them? Who can defeat them? And Moses says, the enemy that you see today, you will never see again. Big amen. Big amen. Brothers and sisters, you need to listen to what the Lord says. There are things in your life this year, God wants to say to you as you walk with him and as he leads you through the mighty waters, God is saying to you, the enemy that you see today, you will never see again. We're going to take care of it decisively in this year. Amen. Amen. It is not, the Christian life is a life of battles. It just is. But there are different battles, and it's not the same enemy. And you and I keep on moving in the Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, so this is the God who's talking. This is what the Lord says, the one who created and formed you, your Redeemer, the one who rescued you and got rid of the enemy. So this is what the Lord says. Now, what does the Lord say? Okay. Isaiah 43 is what he says. Okay, that's the context. Oh, let me keep the check of the time. What does he say? Here's the first thing he says, and this is great. He says it twice. In the first verse, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you, redeemed you. I've called you by name. Okay? And then in Isaiah 43:5, he also says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Put these two verses together, okay? Isaiah 43:5, God says, do not be afraid because I'm with you. And he's talking about his presence with you. You are not alone. Not just, oh, God is there passively in the corner with you. Isn't it great to have God in your life? God does not sit in a corner in your life. God is there to walk with you. God is there to fight for you. God is there to go ahead of you and make a way. God is there as your rear guard so the enemy cannot destroy you from behind. God is there to be your shade in the sun. He is there to lift you up so that you do not strike your feet against the rock. It says in the Old Testament, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. That's another one of my really, really favorite verses in the Old Testament. Some of you are wondering right now. Look it up later. I'll tell you again, and you can find it. But I love that picture, because sometimes we think, I have hit rock bottom. I can't go any. This is so awful. Look down and see that underneath you are his arms lifting you up. This is presence. And what's the other one? Do not be afraid. The other one is identity. It's identity. Okay, got that? So you've got presence and that's okay. That really emphasized the point, Crystal. I liked that. Boom. I said identity and it goes ding, just like that. Okay, we got it, right? So we've got presence and identity. Let's see, what can I say and what can I not say? Okay, I'm going to keep out of trouble. I'm not going to say some things, okay? But when we know who we are, and when we know whose we are, and when we know I belong to, we have great confidence, right? We have great confidence. This is my identity. If you, in the natural world, if you belong to a really wealthy, powerful family that's well established, you don't worry about things very much, do you? You know you're going to be okay. God says, you belong to me. You're part of my family. And so when God says to you and to me, don't be afraid, he uses these two things. He uses identity and he uses presence. Both of these things together. Okay. Now, so we've got, he says, don't be afraid. What's the second thing he says? The second thing he says is what Kim and I both talked, as Kim talked about. Did you mention this verse at all, Brother Kim? No? Okay. I'm doing this verse. How many of you have read this passage before and you're really familiar with it? This is one of, Susan, is this one of our favorite Old Testament passage? Says yes. Okay. If mom could read it, she would say yes. Let me read it for you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. Mom, is that one of your favorite passages? Yes, it is. How many of you know the hymn, How Firm a Foundation? Mom and I, Karen, maybe Steve, I, and Kathleen, a few of us know. It's one of my favorite hymns. It's an old one, and that hymn is based on this verse. And I won't try to sing it because I'm still recovering from whatever crud I had for the last 2 months. So I won't try to sing it, but maybe we'll sing it. So this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. This is really important, okay? I want us to grab it. Don't be afraid. This is what the Lord says. And then he gives us verse 2. Now, take a look at verse 2. Do you want the good news first or the bad news first? How about the bad news first? Yeah? Okay. What's the bad news in verse 2? Come on. Look at it. What's the bad news in verse 2? There's one little word that's repeated 3 times. No, that's good news. Because you're passing through. You're not going to stay there. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire. That's the bad news, brothers and sisters. 2026, guess what some of us are going to be facing? Got it? You're going to be in the deep waters. You're going to be going through raging rivers. You're going to be in the fiery furnace of trouble and affliction. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God says, don't be afraid. This is what the Lord says. When these things happen, so it's going to happen for some of us this year. And I'm not trying to make us discouraged or say, well, oh no, I'm waiting for something bad to happen. No, but we go through these things, right? And what God wants us to know is this, not that there is a guarantee of trouble, not that he is guaranteeing hard time or fiery furnaces of affliction, but what God is saying is, when those things happen, I am with you. I am with you. You're not on your own. They will not sweep over you. I'll be with you. You will not be burned. And that's the encouragement. That's the good news. The bad news is when it's going to happen. The good news, Letty, is I'm with you. You're not going to die. You're going to survive. You're going to make it. And you're going to be victorious. That's the good news. Now, if you are Jewish, or if you know your Bible very well this morning, then immediately you should look at these three things and you should say, ha, I know what he's talking about. Do you? This will help you be really encouraged by this passage. He says three things. He says, why? And it sounds like he's being a little bit repetitive right here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. What's he talking about here? God's talking to his people who in their history have had an experience like this. What is this experience? Again, Red Sea. There you go. When you pass through the waters. And that's an example, very clear, an example of when God took Israel through the waters. When you pass through, I will be with you. And all you have to do is go back and read it, and it will say very clearly that the cloud that the Lord was in the cloud and he went ahead of them. And then when the enemy came, God went behind them to keep the enemy from reaching them. Very, very clear. That's in Exodus 13 and 14. Just, you can go back and read it on your own. So that's the first circumstance. Look at the second one. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. I'll bet some of you thought, why did God repeat himself right there? Because he's already talked about water, right? So why does he say that, Crystal? Crystal, why does he say it? Crystal says, I'm not sure. Okay, that's okay. Here's why he says it. God's not repeating himself. God is giving another example for our benefit. And here's the example. And when you pass through the rivers, when you pass through the waters, that was at the beginning of their journey, right? As they got out of Egypt. Where were they right before they went into the promised land to fight against Jericho and then go on in? What was the barrier there? Thank you. The River Jordan. What was happening at that time when they were getting ready to cross over? It was the flood stage. Now, normally the River Jordan could be very low. It wouldn't be very wide. But at flood stage, the River Jordan could have been 10 to 20 feet deep. You say, well, that's not that deep. It only has to be deep enough to be over your head to drown you, brothers and sisters. That's how deep it has to be. And remember, they'd been walking through the wilderness. I doubt any of them had had swimming lessons at the YMCA, okay? I doubt they could swim. And they didn't have any boats or rafts with them, right? So they faced an impossible. It was an impossible situation. It really was. So here's this river. And at flood stage, it could be up to half a mile wide. Half a mile wide. And the waters there at that point, because they crossed across from Jericho, the waters there would have been very tumultuous. It would have been impossible for them. But what does God do? He stops the waters and they go across. So God says, they will not sweep over you. Now God uses what happens physically to Israel to help us understand how he's going to help us when we face situations that are too deep for us, that are overwhelming for us, and overcoming for us. And God says, don't be afraid. The enemy will try to make your first reaction fear every time. Fear. And God is saying, do not be afraid. Now remember who I am. I'm the one that's, I'm with you and you belong to me. Presence and identity, yeah? And he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You are not going to die in this situation. I've told you before about Pastor Jackie when she had burned, when we burned and got rid of some of the talismans, the black magic stuff that had been given to her from her family, and we burned it up here. And that night, the devil appeared to her in her room, right? I doubt it was. It was probably a demon or whatever. But anyhow, a manifestation of the devil. You know what the devil said to her? And she was and she was terrified because we burned it and we proclaimed God's glory. And the enemy, let's just put it that way, the enemy said to her, whoops, sorry. And the enemy said to her, you're going to lose your life. And Pastor Jennifer, because I was one that had taken it and burned it. And she said, and the enemy said, and Pastor Jennifer is going to lose her mind. She's going to go crazy. Terrifying, terrifying. Until she began to rise up and she realized, but God, you are with me. And she began to call on the name of God. The enemy will try to scare you into stopping every time. And God says, no, 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 no. You belong to me. You think I'm not going to take care of you? You think I'm going to let you be on your own? Parents, or those that are kind of like parents, if somebody threatens somebody in your family, what's your response? Good luck. Is that your response? You would do everything in your power to protect your loved one. How much more, listen, how much more will your heavenly Father fight for you? Because you're his and he's with you. Amen. One more thing. Look at the last one. I love this one. What is it, Sister Lisa? Fire. What is fire? How many of you have been going through the fire? It's hot. And it keeps getting hotter, right? And it keeps more and more pressure. And you think, God, turn the temperature down. And God says, oops, I'm in the wrong verse. Oh, here we go. There you go. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. Okay, Bible students, what is God referring to? Shadrach, from the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar says, you have to bow down and worship my statue, and the three Hebrew guys say, no, teenagers probably, they say, no, we're not going to. And he says, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace, give you another chance. And they say, no, we're not going to bow. And he throws them in the fiery furnace. Okay, this is what God is referring to. Now, ready to be encouraged a little bit more right now at this moment? Guess what? When God says this, no joke, this is 100 years before it has happened. Mm. Oh, how about that? Pretty cool, right? It's 100 years before it happens. That's because God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got it all in his hands. And God reaches ahead into the future and brings up something that has not yet happened, but God knows will be part of their future. And he says, when you are going through the fire, I'll be with you. The fire will not burn you. And we remember the story so well, don't we? Nebuchadnezzar looks. They were thrown in with all of their clothes, with all of their turbans, the Bible says, with everything. And they were bound, right? And then they get thrown in the furnace. We're not going to look at it. This is in Daniel, I think, chapter 4. Look at it on your own. And then Nebuchadnezzar looks and he says, hey, I thought we threw in three people. I said, yes, we did. Three Hebrews. And Nebuchadnezzar says, but there's a fourth person in there. And he's like the son of the gods. It was Jesus walking with them in the fiery furnace. Okay. Oh, there's much more here, but we got to get to that last thing. Then we're going to stop and we're going to have communion together. Here's the thing. Some of us, if not all of us, are probably going to go through some fiery furnaces this year. We don't even see it coming. But God already knows. And he already has a plan for it. He already has a plan for it. He's there ahead of you. He's ahead of the game. He's ahead of the game. And there are some things that will happen in the fiery furnace that will not happen anywhere else in your life. That will not be dealt with in any other way in your life except through the fiery furnace. What gets burned off in the fiery furnace? Their clothes? They're naked? No, they keep their clothes. Sam, what gets burned off? That's right, the things that bound them, the ropes that tied them so tightly. And those things God burned off in the fiery furnace. If you go through a fiery furnace this year, first of all, know that God did not cause the fiery furnace, because he doesn't bring evil into our lives. The enemy may be at work, but know this. He is with you, and he will do things in your life, and he will burn things off of your life that would be burned off in no other way, in no other way. But it will not destroy you. It will not destroy you. Presence and identity. He is with you. And as you are with him, do you think he's going to let that fire destroy you? No way. You belong to him. Amen. Let's close with this very, very quickly. I told you we had to get back to those verses that we started with, right? We got to end with where we started. Ready? Take a deep breath. Make sure you're awake. We're almost at the end. It's a little bit warm in here, but I'm wearing a jacket. Maybe you're not. Okay, we come to the end. This is what the Lord says. Oh, there it is again. He who made a way through the sea, a path. We already know what that is, right? We know that's the reference to the great salvation that God gave for his people, how he destroyed the enemy. This is truly amazing. It's truly wonderful. It's like the high point in all of Jewish history. This is the high point. I mean, no joke, up to that time. They always look back. God did this. God did this. It was the high point. Okay, got it? Now, here we go. We end with where we started. Look at it again. So God says this high point. And then what does God say? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. This is a bit of a conundrum right now. Because you know what? God is not just talking about the defeats and the bad things that have happened in your life that you are to forget. God even references this great victory that he gave to his people. And he says, don't dwell on that. Forget the former things. Don't dwell. Is God saying, don't remember the good things that I did? No. God is not saying that, but what God is saying is, don't keep looking back. God, oh, back then you were like this. Back then you did that. Oh, God, back then it was so good. Oh, God, back then. Yes, God was good back then, but God is good today, and God will be good tomorrow, and God does not want your vision and your thoughts and your plans completely filled with the past. Because God's working now. God's doing things now. If you blew it in the past, stop dwelling on it. Have you asked God to forgive you? Have you asked God to deal with it? Okay. Well, by the way, if he hasn't, then let him deal with it. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry for this. Forgive me. If you need to make it right with somebody, make it right with somebody. But don't keep dwelling on it. Start moving forward. Not only that, God has done great things in your life. Praise the Lord for the great things that he's done. Praise the Lord for the victories of the past. But God has victories today and tomorrow. And you and I need victories today and tomorrow. Do we not? Yes, we do. I do too. My prayer, when I pray for Lighthouse, I hear about all the great things of Lighthouse, especially in the early days, in the beginning. And they're really, really great. But guess what? I live now. I live now. I'm pastoring Lighthouse now. I want God to work now. I want God to do things now. I want to see God fill people with his Holy Spirit today. I want to see God heal people today. I want to see God set people free today. And I know that that's not just my desire, because God says, this is what I'm saying. I am doing a new thing. It's something different. It's not the same as yesterday. I'm doing a new thing. And if you're always looking at, now God, that's how you did it back then. Now God, that's what it was like, how it was like back then. You will miss the new thing that God has for you today and tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Okay, 2 minutes and then we're finished, right? And then communion. Okay. Oh, I like this part so much. You know, I'm a word person. I'm doing a new thing. And then he says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Okay, ready for the word lesson. Okay, ready for the word lesson. Doesn't this sound kind of big? Now it springs up. That sounds big, right? It's not. Guess what? In the original language, here, it springs up. Do you know what the word means literally and figuratively? It means a sprout. Let me see if I can make a sprout. A sprout. A sprout. S-P-S-P. Is there a problem with my English? S-P, but there's no problem with my spelling. S-P-R-O-U-T. A sprout. That's what the word means. So, y'all are laughing at me. That's okay. I know who I am, and I know God is with me. Now it sprouts up. Okay. How many of you plant things? I know Kim and I do. I don't know if anybody else plants. Anybody else, you kind of plant things? Not transplant. I mean plant from a seed. P-L-A-N-T. Plant. My favorite thing to plant in early spring, it's not tomatoes. It's not these other things. My favorite thing to plant is basil, or basil, I guess, if you're British. But since I'm American, I'm going to say basil, okay? It's a little tiny seed. You can barely see it. Do you know why I love to plant basil? Why? I'm going to tell you why. It's almost guaranteed to sprout. In fact, it doesn't even matter what the germination says on the back. Almost always when the weather's warm enough and there's enough moisture in the soil, do you know how long it takes to sprout? About 2 days. Literally about 2 days. So if you want some instant gratification, plant basil. There you go. But here's what I love about it. I was thinking about it yesterday. I love it because I've planted it. I know the seeds are there. I know they're going to come up. And yet, I go out there and I look, and when I see the sprout, I'm so excited. And I'm actually surprised. Not surprised like, oh, I didn't know it was going to happen. But it's like, it has sprouted. Because it was dirt. It was dark. It didn't look like there was anything there. It didn't look like there was any life. It didn't look like anything was going to come from it. And yet, just like that, it sprouted. Suddenly. One day, it's dirt. The next day, there's a sprout. That's how God does things. One day in your life and in your situation, there may be nothing there. Nothing there. And the next day, what is there, Letty? There's a sprout. There's a sprout. Which is why, and so God says, don't you perceive it? We have to sometimes look hard for a sprout, right? You got to look for it. You're waiting for the big thing? You may not see the big thing. But this is what it leads to. I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm making streams in the desert. Those are so much bigger than sprouts. Those are impossible things for you and for me to do. You cannot make a way in the wilderness. There's no pathway. There's no roadmap at that time. You cannot make a stream flow through the desert. Impossible. Meo diga kanang. Cannot be. But God can. Because this is what the Lord does. And so let you and let me forget. And let us focus. Amen. Walk with the Lord. We're going to have communion now. Know whose you are. Know he is with you. And look for the sprout of God in your life. Amen? Amen. We're going to have communion now as we remember the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Good. In 2026, we're going to have communion as we forget and as we focus. Juby's going to help you. So the ushers, if you don't have one yet, we'll give you one. If you are not a member of this church, you are welcome to participate in the Lord's Supper if you're in relationship with God. That's what the Bible says, right? And you want everything right between you and God. So if there's something, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but if there's something in your heart that you're holding on to that needs to be, you need to talk with God, just right now while we're doing this, just close your eyes very quickly and just make sure everything's right with you and God, okay? That's what he says to do. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then when we've done that, we are ready to come to the table of the Lord and to do what he said to do, right? Which is to eat the bread that reminds us of his broken body and to drink the juice which reminds us of his blood spilled out. That's what Jesus said. And he says that we do it and we remember him. So we've been talking about him this morning, right? He has been so good, hasn't he? Has he been merciful to you? Yeah. Has he shown you grace? Yeah. Didn't deserve it, but he has bought you. He has redeemed you. You're his. He is going to show you grace, and he's going to show you mercy. So we're going to remember Jesus this morning. And we remember what Jesus did. We know this on the very night that he was betrayed. Has everybody received? And you know how to open it, right? So you'll peel back the top part, this part, right? And then we'll eat this first. So on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. So that reminds us that the body of Jesus was broken, right? The only way for you and for me and for me to receive grace from God is that the body of Jesus was broken. There was no other way. And so we remember that. All these wonderful things we've talked about this morning is possible because of the broken body of Jesus for us. And so he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this and remember me." So Lord, this morning as we eat this bread, We obey you and we remember you this morning and what you did and what you gave yourself to be broken so that we could be whole and complete, body, soul, and spirit, so that we might be healed, so that we might be cleansed. We remember you as we eat this bread together. Shall we eat together this morning? And Jesus didn't stop there, because not only did Jesus have healing and restoration for us physically and emotionally and in all of these areas, our greatest need was and is spiritual, always. The only way you and I can have a relationship with God is through the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, not church membership, not doing good. It's the blood of Jesus. And so this morning, as we drink this juice, we remember that Jesus allowed his blood to be shed, that you and I could be clean, forgiven, and then have a relationship with God to be restored, to have the identity that we talked about this morning. So Jesus, this morning, as we prepare to drink this juice, we remember your blood shed for us. Lord, we remember your word which says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so, Lord, this morning as we drink, we remember the price you paid by your blood that makes us free from sin and makes us clean. Shall we drink together? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The ushers are going to come around and they're going to take this. Amen. Could we just sing, we know the chorus. Could we just sing, "Thank You, Lord"? Okay. I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me. For all you've given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Say together, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you. Go in the strength and the grace and the mercy and the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen.